Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 65 for September 27th, 2008. Teen Health. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by Visa. With every purchase, Visa prevents, detects, and resolves online fraud. Safe, secure, Visa. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, the show that covers monkeys in all their variety. We talk about primates. We talk about your bonobo. We talk about your baboon.
No apes.
No apes. No. Only monkey. Only. What is the difference, Megan Maroney?
I don't know.
There is a difference.
There is a huge difference. Tails, maybe? Monkeys have tails. I don't know.
Truth is, this show isn't about monkeys.
No, and we don't need to know the difference between apes and monkeys.
It's about children as they appear to be like monkeys.
Yes, and parenting.
And we, of course, are apes.
Yes.
We're the apes. They're the monkeys.
Right. There was an article in the New York Times about social networking for babies recently. Totspot, we've talked about, and, you know, other things like that.
That's just crazy.
It is. I mean, but a lot of people are using it as...
baby groups, right?
Yeah. Well, mostly they're using it as like a baby blog, like a digital scrapbook. But then you can connect with other people that way. But mostly it's a way of like avoiding, I'm going to send, you know, everyone I know 1,000 pictures of my baby.
Well, that's, I understand that.
You know, so... Yeah. But there was a quote in it about how we're living in a pro-parenting age and people are screaming it from the rooftops. And I think that's true. Us especially.
That's the scream.
Go parents.
Go parents. I always thought this is kind of pro-children, an age of pro-kitties.
Well, pro-parenting is pro-children, I think.
Right.
Don't you think?
It's about parent and child together.
Right.
Okay. I'll grant you that.
But pro-parent in that, like, if you have a social networking site for your child, you're like choosing their friends, basically.
That's true. But only when they're really little. You do that when you're really little.
Right. Exactly. So today we're going to talk to...
We don't choose our kids' friends now.
No.
If we
did. Already. Once they're in school, I mean, that's... You're done, basically.
Yeah, that's... In fact, the truth is, at least in our family, the kids chose our friends.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up being mostly friends with people whose kids were going to school with our kids, right?
Yeah.
So... Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what really happens.
That's what happens. So today we're going to talk to Dr. Danny Lee. He is a general practitioner at Johns Hopkins, and he's going to talk about adolescent obesity and internet video game use. When I told you that, you groaned a little bit. But he is a geek, so I think he's going to give us the geek's view of this. And any other teen health issues, you can talk to Doctor, I'm hoping we can call him Dr. Danny.
Dr. Danny.
So
I just feel like I'm... My doctor's always telling me to lose weight, so I was like, okay.
But you're trying.
I don't know if I'm trying to lose weight or just trying to stay in shape.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily the same thing.
Right. Well, it's healthy. That's the important thing.
I'm trying to be healthy.
Right.
But then I'm eating like a pig and I'm playing a lot of video games. So that's why I'm afraid Dr. Lee's going to yell at me.
You know what the secret to losing weight, I think, is?
What?
Writing down everything you eat.
I think you're exactly right.
Do you ever do that?
I did it once and I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. I'm doing it right now in my Palm Centro.
What program are you using?
Just my memos program.
Oh, okay.
There's probably an easier program.
There are. And then maybe that's where I go wrong is I'm always downloading the latest, you know, program. There's one I use on the iPhone called Absolute Fitness. I think that's the name of it. And it's it has your exercise, what you've eaten. But I found what really worked for me, and it was as part of a Weight Watchers program. Mm-hmm. I think that also helps. But I was writing down not everything, just the number of calories, the number of fat grams, and the number of fiber grams and everything. And I was trying to get the fat grams down below, I think, I can't remember, 20 or 40 a day, and the number of fiber grams above 40 a day, and that or whatever it was. And that really, I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't write down the calories or anything. That would drive me insane. But just if you have to write down everything, like you're less likely...
So just write it down, what you wrote.
Yeah.
So you're just aware of it.
Right. And, you know, because I'm writing it on this little, with this little tiny keyboard and it takes so long to type everything, it makes me think, oh my God, if I eat any more, I'm going to take forever to have to type that out.
There's a real disincentive to eating more, isn't
there? Right. All right. So I wanted to remind people they could call us. Our regular phone number, not a toll-free number, 707-981-4602.
See, you didn't think I knew it. You were looking at me like I didn't know it.
Well, you have it written down.
Right on the screen.
Yeah. Speaking of screen, we should tell people that you could watch us. We're going to be changing our time.
Yeah, we like it if you join us live because we watch, there's two chat rooms. We watch your comments there and so forth. What time is our new time? I forgot.
We're going to start recording Wednesdays, 3:30 Pacific.
And that's starting next month.
October 8th.
So we're going to take a couple of weeks off because you're going on vacation. I'm going away.
Right. So if you're listening to a regular subscribe, we're not taking any weeks off because we've been recording two episodes for several weeks now.
But starting on October 8th, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be right after Floss Weekly,
mm-hmm.
which will be at about, what did you say?
I said 3:30. Does that?
That's right. Floss Weekly begins at 2, so that's exactly right. Yeah.
3:30. Probably till 4:30-ish Pacific time.
And that was that, because that works better for you and your fabulous lifestyle.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can watch us at twitlive.tv. You can see Leo's fabulous face and make sure he's not multitasking while we're talking to people.
Always am. No, because that's my job. People think I don't pay attention, but I have a brain that is able to do four different things simultaneously.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually paying I know exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What time are we going to be on again?
And you can see the fancy effects that you do.
Yes, and those are fancy.
And the clock behind your head.
Right there.
So, twitlive.tv or just subscribe via iTunes or listen at twit.tv.
We've been getting a lot of really nice mail from people who listen. More and more people are listening to the show. iTunes selected you as one of the top parenting podcasts. Mm-hmm. We were right on the front page there. That was nice.
Yes.
We were very grateful.
That was nice.
Yeah.
So, should we do some spend, save, give while we wait to talk to Danny?
Well, we're not waiting to talk to Danny.
No.
We could talk to Danny at any time, but we feel that we should do some spend, save, give before we talk to Dr. Danny.
Spend, save, give. One way to spend your money, one way to save, one way to give back. Spend. Cooking tongs.
Cooking tongs. Everybody needs them.
I was reminded of this by Parent Hacks, which is a great site.
That's pretty funny. They actually did a blog post on cooking tongs?
Yes. How you can use them for cleaning up, helping your kids clean up. Like if they can clean up with like the cooking tongs, picking them up, picking the things up.
Oh, because kids don't like to touch the food?
You mean the toys?
The toys?
No, just because it's fun.
You know, you could also buy those little monster things.
Oh,
that have
like Maureen has at the at the mail depot.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That makes it more fun to pick up. Excruciatingly slow.
That's true. Yeah.
But
so
more
is
fun.
Cooking tongs.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. It's not exactly an efficient way to get
efficient. But cooking, my kids love to play with the cooking tongs.
Really?
So, we got to get it some extra ones. And if you're looking for a gift for someone, baby gift, cooking tongs. Maybe not a toddler gift. Perhaps.
Here's for changing the diapers. When you need to change the diapers, use these. We recommend them.
Yes, that's true. That's even better.
Ooh,
yeah.
Just,
what was that? It was like Mr. Mom where he used the cooking tongs for the... I think it was.
Seems like that's a good idea.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to the save.
Save! But we do have a link in the show notes, too.
To the Parent Hacks blog post and to cooking tongs that you can buy for yourself. I realize I gave you the wrong link for Gaga's. It's just gagas.com.
What is Gaga's?
Gaga's is a place where you can rent formal wear for kids online.
Because how many times have you needed a tuxedo for a three-year-old?
Exactly.
And you just don't know where to go.
You don't know where to go. Well, our babysitter, Allie, is getting married in 2 weeks. And Annabella is the flower girl, and Milo and Huck are the ring bearers.
Oh, so you do need formal wear.
Yes, and Allie wanted to pick out the flower girl dress for Annabella. You know,
do people really expect a baby to come in formal attire?
A baby? No, but if they're in the wedding, I don't think anyone expects kids coming to a wedding.
A flower girl should have a light, little frilly, fancy dress.
Yes.
Not a cocktail. We're not talking a sheath.
No.
We're not talking pearls in a little black dress.
No. Just like a... Well, they have cute dresses.
Or a
ball
gown.
Did you go to gagas.com? They have really cute ones. I don't think they're in your size. GAGAS.com.
Or you could also say gagas.
You could gagas.
It's gagas.
I don't really know. I'll have to talk to them to find out.
Well, I see an apostrophe after the gaga,
okay.
So I think your pronunciation is correct. Oh, those are so cute.
But
they even
way
have them
cheaper.
For dogs.
Oh, do they?
They have dress up the rest of your kids' puppy wear.
Excellent.
Oh, you know, there's nothing so good looking as a four-year-old boy looking like James Bond, Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, well, we ordered them. We haven't, received them yet.
The formal shorts?
No, pants. It's a September wedding. Pants. And you can rent shoes.
I want the formal short set with hat. I would wear that. You'd look like that guy in AC/DC. You'd look like, what's his name, Angus?
Oh, the guy that wears the top hat?
He wears a little schoolboy outfit with the shorts and the little hat. You'd look like that. It'd be so cool.
I'm not up to my AC/DC, up in my AC/DC trivia.
I don't understand that. How could you?
So anyway, the stuff is a lot cheaper than renting it at a formal wear place.
Really?
Yes.
Can you go to a formal wear place?
And rent for kids? Yeah, of course.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're way more expensive than this.
Oh, really?
Which is why this isn't the save.
Yeah.
It's true that it's not the most popular item for kids, the tuxedo, but I feel like there was someone out there that could benefit from my experience with Gaga's.
I would like a smart cuffed set of black shorts with suspenders over a classic white short sleeve shirt, clip-on bow tie, and engineer's cap for a great old-fashioned look.
Nice. This would also be good for Halloween, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. For me, for Halloween.
Yeah. I'm actually afraid.
I'm a ring bearer.
You should dress up as a baby ring bearer.
A baby ring bearer. Yeah. I could have a little pillow. Pink pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Since Abby's in France, I can't humiliate her, so I could send pictures to France, though.
That's true. Have you continued to humiliate her? Did you humiliate her last year?
Oh, I do. Every Halloween, I humiliate the kids. Well, they consider it humiliation because I follow them.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you. Like on the other side of the street, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like their stars.
I always thought that was curious. I'd see Abby, and then, you know, like 5 minutes later, I see you. What a coincidence.
You noticed that?
Yeah.
You actually noticed that? Well, when they were little, they wanted to go trick-or-treating alone. I mean, when I say little, I mean 11 and 10 and 12. They wanted to go trick-or-treating alone, and we live in a community where it's pretty safe. I mean, there's lots of trick-or-treaters out, and it's not like there's spooks out. But, I think an adult needs to be nearby. So I just would follow them. Mm-hmm. I didn't say... Well, one time I didn't tell them, and it kind of scared Abby.
Well, they obviously know because you always have these like elaborate costumes. Yeah.
Why is that wizard with the dragon's wings following you? I think if I dressed in this outfit, there'd be no hiding.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But anyway, gagas.com. Check it out if your kids are in weddings or other formal.
Look at this dinner jacket tuxedo with cummerbund. It's all white.
I'll make sure to send pictures.
Three weeks, just $25. It is. It's very affordable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll send pictures if the boys actually get into them. That's going to be the next level.
So, what did you get? Did you get this traditional black?
Yeah, she chose it. Allie chose it. Blue to match.
They're matching the wedding.
Yes. Oh, they match the wedding
party.
They're
going to wear like, are they going to have
blue
ruffled
cummerbund
shirts?
And I don't know. No ruffled shirts. I don't know, actually, if I've rented shirts.
Uh-oh.
Good. I'll have to check that out.
You really would want them to wear shirts.
I don't know.
Otherwise, they look like tiny little Chippendale dancers.
Yeah, true.
Their tuxedo tie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to give. Princess Katie and Racer Steve.
Thank you, Racer Steve.
Princess Katie and Racer Steve. They are a kids' band. You can read all about them at Princess Katie's Diary. And they are doing a music drive. They actually started their music career playing music for kids in hospitals.
Oh.
And so now they're collecting kids' CDs and giving them to kids in hospitals. So
it's not just their music. It's any
music. Any music that you have that you want to give, or if you're a kids musician, you want to send your CDs,
cool.
We'll send the link to that. It's princesskatiesdiary.blogspot.com.
Very cool.
And I heard about this on Bill Child's Spare the Rock. He does a great music for kids podcast.
I still feel like, we started with Bill Child's. Like, that was like one of our first episodes, and I still feel a kinship to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a long, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. It's 65. Been 65 episodes. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Wow. When you put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We should be retiring. At 65,
really?
Can you retire?
Mm,
we could join the AARP for podcasts, the Association of Retired Podcasts.
Aren't you on like 165 on Twit?
Twit is 160. The biggest one is the Daily Gizwiz, which is almost a 600, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. And then the tech guy, which I've been doing longer than any other, is at 490, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's 489 episodes or podcasts?
Episodes and podcasts.
Oh. But you've done more episodes than that, right? Did you start with a podcast?
I started No, but I started numbering with the first show. We always offered it for download, starting with January 2004.
But their podcast.
But they became a podcast in September, but the numbering hasn't changed because I numbered them even when I didn't podcast them.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
If you know
Can you follow me?
I'm following you.
You follow that logic?
Okay, now I think it's time to hear from our sponsor, Audible.
It is indeed. We love Audible.com. They're the place where you can go to get wonderful books for your kids. Now, there's two different Audible URLs, as we might say. And today we're going to do audible.com, right?
Right. That's right.
All right. Let me change that on the screen. We want to make sure we have the right one. This is a place to go, audible.com/monkeys. Am I right?
You are right.
It is a place to go to get yourself your free Audible book. And when I say free, I mean you don't have to pay for it, even if you decide not to stick around. But I have to say, I think most people are going to want to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want that subscription because there are so many great choices. Whether you're buying for yourself, I listen to so many books on Audible, or buying for your kids.
Right.
Audible.com is such a great place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Audible.com/monkeys. If you haven't signed up yet, you can sign up there today and choose a free book. And you've got a good selection. This is for parents.
For parents, yes. I spoke about this book a few weeks ago. It's called Raising Your Spirited Child.
Oh, baby.
By Mary Sheedy Kersinka.
Oh, I know about spirited children.
Yes. This is a really great book. I talked about it. I mentioned that it was sort of PR for parenting.
Right.
You know, like your kid's not crazy.
He's spirited.
Yeah. Or, you know, not obstinate. Just
right. He's not an arsonist, just curious.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But this is a really good book. It kind of, you know, just sort of manages your expectations of children and really calmed me down. Because my kids, you know, they were biters. They were hitters. They were
the best kids. Are the ones with the most spirit,
right.
I think, in the long run.
Yeah. You know my mom's friend, Janet McBean, who taught kindergarten in Petaluma forever. I asked her that the other day because I was telling her about this book and she was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like the stuff we used to like write in report cards.
Yeah,
you know?
They're spirited.
Very spirited. Yeah. And I said, well, what about those kids today, you know, that were like that? She was like, oh, you know,
achievers.
Across the board. They're, So, yeah, it's a great book if you're having issues with your spirited child. And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, the boys started preschool again, and Carolyn, their teacher, was just like, oh, they're the big kids now. They're so calm.
Oh.
Like, whereas last year they were insane. And and this year they're getting hit on the head by other kids with hammers as opposed to the other way around.
Oh, that's progress.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, that's great news.
Yeah. Well, someone actually told me that this morning at Pete's. They were like, oh, I saw Charlie hit Milo over the head with a hammer the other day. And I was like,
Louise.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It goes around, comes around.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. One day they're hitting you with a hammer, the next day you're hitting them.
Yeah, it's the next day they're running for president. Who knows?
Who knows? Could be.
So, yeah, you can get it at audible.com.
Mary Sheedy Kersinka. Mm-hmm. It is Raising Your Spirited Child, one of many, many great books for kids and grown-ups, business, classics, education, fiction, history. I read a lot of history. I love the history. Mysteries, thrillers, sci-fi, too. A great selection. It's all at audible.com/monkeys. And we thank them so much for their support of the Fine Jumping Monkeys program.
Mm-hmm.
So before we call and find out how fat and out of shape I am.
No, it's about teens.
Okay. I'm going to see myself in it, though. You know I am. I just want to say that Abby is in France now. We've heard from her a little bit. But she has Skype, you know, and I set it up so that she could call. But we must have been chatting and emailing. She doesn't really want to deal with us. But I think it's very difficult for her. I think she's actually, you know, it's a tough transition.
Aww.
So it's manifesting as a kind of crankiness.
Aww.
Right.
And with you.
With us. Yeah. Like she called and said, send me. I need this. And so we sent it. We FedExed it. Got to her in a few days. She'd forgotten her power supply for her computer, her DVD for her computer. She forgot some various clothes. She wanted us to send her shampoo and conditioner from her bathroom. But I observed before Jennifer packed it in the box that it was from France. So I thought, you know, she probably could get it there. I'm thinking.
So you didn't send it?
We didn't send it.
Oh.
So she said, you sent me everything I took out of my bag and I didn't want and nothing I wanted.
Aww.
And then she's lost her wallet. So she didn't lose her passport. They were smart enough to keep that. But she lost her driver's license, her credit card.
Oh.
She has no cash. And then she said, and the family I'm staying with is so strict they don't let me out in the and you know there's a 16-year-old girl that she likes a lot. She says, but she studies all the time. So we're going, yeah, right on. We're very happy about it. But, you know, I think no matter what, it was a very difficult transition.
Yeah. You're just bearing the brunt of that. I remember the week that when my parents were taking me to college, I was never meaner to my mom at any point in my life.
Because you're stressed.
Yeah. And that's who you take it on, because that's who you can take it on.
And you know, it's safe. Your mom's still going to love you and is going to understand. And that's exactly, you know, fortunately, Jennifer's a psychotherapist. She knew that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, she's just stressed. It's okay. I can, you know, I can take it. We love her. And so we're, you know, I just feel for her because I know she's going through, it must be difficult. And she was very upset about losing her wallet.
That is hard. Did it get stolen or she?
No, she's lost her wallet 3 times this summer. Mm. She just doesn't pay attention. And so she left it on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
It had her driver's license, her student ID, her lunch card, her credit card.
Poor Abby.
Yeah, she's all right. We ordered all new stuff.
I bet she's missing her boyfriend too. Is she missing her
boyfriend? She probably misses her boyfriend a little bit. For all we know, she's talking to him every day. I don't, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's fine. You know, this is what you go through. And I think we'll see. We're going out for Christmas and we'll see.
You are?
We'll see. Okay. Yeah. We'll see how she feels in a month. But by Christmas, I bet she's all better.
Yeah. I bet she is too.
So let's talk about how fat I am. You know how much I enjoy that kind of thing. Dr. Danny Lee is on the line.
Hey,
Dr.
Leo Megan.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. Am I on time?
Not only you're on time, it is exactly on time.
Oh, God, goodness. I am just having one of those days today.
Are you at work today? Or?
I am. And actually, I was kind of in between meetings. I just got put in charge of kind of a re-education for physicians who are having trouble with the EMR and training doctors how to use computers is a task all unto itself.
Oh, I bet it is. So you're kind of a geek as well as a doctor.
Yeah. Actually, I'm a big fan of yours, Leo. I kind of follow your podcasts. I listen to them in my office.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
And
do you work in an HMO or in a private practice or group? Or
no, actually, I work for Johns Hopkins. I work with Johns Hopkins. We're just part of a big organization. You know, there's the hospital.
Right.
And the outpatient side of it, which kind of is the growing side of Hopkins, actually. And I work on the primary care side of it. So
you know that Megan's a JHU graduate?
I do. Yeah. So I hope she's not too scarred from her experience.
No. I didn't go. I never went near the med school, so I'm not scarred by it.
Yeah.
And my daughter was in a Johns Hopkins program called the Center for Talented Youth, which is a wonderful program. And loved it and did it every year for every summer for the last 6 summers. She just adores it. So that's a great school.
And Danny is also the father of a 6-year-old, right?
Yeah, my 6-year-old daughter is named May, and she just started first grade. And so
do you let her use the computer?
Oh, she's actually very good with the computer. She plays with my iPod Touch, and she uses the Mac that we have in our living room. And
that's great. Do you have restrictions on how much she can do with it, or?
We do. We don't just let her use it. I mean, we kind of she has to earn it, basically.
Right.
We expect her to kind of do certain chores and things around the house and, you know, and just help us out. It's not that she has set chores, but we do expect her to kind of like, you know, maybe do some things to help us around the house. And if she does them, then she gets some time on the computer, that kind of thing. So, So it's, she's really amazing with the computer. She knows her way around the Mac and the iPod Touch.
That's pretty cool. That's a little computer in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. And I was actually, I give Apple a lot of credit for the interface. It's so intuitive that, you know, she picked it up from the first time. And she just knew what to do with it. She just moved her finger around and she just knew where the icons were. So she, you know, there's a couple of, like she likes to play Bejeweled on it and she's, you know, she's pretty good with that.
So. 6 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you talk a lot about adolescent obesity, internet use, video game use, in teens, but with a 6-year-old, is there something you do now, you think, to kind of get them on the right track so that they don't face these problems as they get to their older years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, adolescent obesity and childhood obesity are so closely related. And in actuality, I'm board certified in internal medicine. However, I've kind of like backed into doing a lot of adolescent medicine. There are a lot of adolescents kind of between the ages of 15 and 18 mm-hmm. who kind of fall in the cracks a little bit. They don't want to, you know, wait in a waiting room when there's a lot of other babies around, and they want to be treated, you know, more like a grown up, but they're still a minor technically.
Right.
And,
right.
Being at Hopkins, I've been seeing a lot more of the teenage population. A lot of the pediatricians they'll come up and ask me if I feel comfortable, you know, taking over some of these patients, and a lot of the parents too. I treat their parents, and then they'll ask me, you know, my son or my daughter's turning 15. Right. You know, she really doesn't want to go to the pediatrician, and it wasn't something I was planning on doing. It's just something I've kind of backed into. And the trends I've seen lately have been just startling. Just the number and the volume of adolescent obesity. And what makes it so dire is that, you know, there are many, many studies that have linked adolescent obesity, and a good number of them will retain that into their adulthood.
Right.
And we're starting to see adult illnesses like type 2 diabetes, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia in these kids.
Wow.
Yeah. And
now as kids, as teenagers, they're already getting these syndromes?
Yes, exactly.
Holy cow.
And you know, type 2 diabetes, if you know, for your listeners, there are, you know, two types of diabetes mellitus. There's type 1 diabetes, or what has historically been known as juvenile diabetes. This is a syndrome. This is a disease where it's almost an autoimmune disease where the immune system kind of attacks the pancreas, and the islet cells die off, and then the child is left without any islet cells in the pancreas to make any insulin. So they really are diabetic by the fact that they're deficient in the insulin. Type 2 diabetes, on the other hand, or what historically has been called adult onset diabetes, is a syndrome where we term the phrase insulin resistance, where in fact the individual is making a great deal of insulin, but they're not able to make enough insulin to cope with all the glucose that's in their bloodstream. So there's that insulin resistance is a term that's thrown quite a bit around, and we're seeing that in adolescents because the rate of obesity has been going up so dramatically in this country. I mean,
so it's connected to obesity, not sugar consumption?
It's actually tied much more closely to the person's what they call BMI, or body mass index. Hmm. The body mass index is a term where we can measure the individual's height, and we divide that by, right. Or we take the patient's weight and we divide that by their height.
I'm much too short for my weight, actually. I found that, and I just, you know, I think there's something wrong there because I should be much taller.
it's something that I think we all battle with, and yeah. I myself am constantly trying to remind myself that I need to also exercise and eat right and do the things.
How much is too overweight for a teenager?
What
you know? What's the range of BMI that is? Okay. I mean, you could be chubby, right? I mean, or no?
Well, the category of overweight is technically speaking anyone from a BMI of 25 to 30, and anything over 30 is considered obese. Anything over 40 is considered extreme obese.
Yeah.
Now,
my daughter just loves calling me morbidly obese.
Oh, wonderful!
She says it's not an insult; it's a fact. I said, "Thanks, kid." Thanks a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean that's it's a situation where, you know, before the term, you know, morbidly obese, or what I would consider morbidly obese, would be anyone with a BMI over 40,
yeah, I don't
or
think
that
I'm
extreme
actually,
obesity,
no.
Exactly. And I am seeing those types of obesity in adolescents, and so
wow.
that's just devastating. Yes, exactly.
So is this something new? This hasn't been seen before?
It's new in the fact, I mean, what's different about it is that the rate at which we're seeing adolescents falling into the obese range is just climbing. Mm. If you look at obesity rates from the 1960s and the 70s, I mean, it really was, you know, only about 4 or 5% of the of the child and adolescent population. If you move it now into the 21st century, you know, it's almost one in three now are considered either overweight or obese. So that is an huge change.
Now that's U.S. population?
That's the United States population. And we're also seeing it in parts of Western Europe as well. It's less studied in Eastern Europe, in Russia, and parts of Asia. We don't really have a lot of data from there. But here in the United States and in parts of Western Europe, we're seeing higher and higher rates of obesity in kids. And
so why?
Well, there are many factors that kind of go into it. There are environmental factors. One thing that has been looked at a lot has been diet. You know, there are, you know, as you know, there are soda machines now in schools.
Terrible.
Exactly. Kids, gym classes are becoming optional due to budgetary cuts.
Right.
Kids are less active. Portion sizes are
supersize me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the criticisms I have. When I talk to obesity in my patients, both adult and adolescents, I mean, what is the thing that a lot of people talk about when they talk about a good restaurant or they recommend a good restaurant to their peers? They'll talk about their portion size. Oh, for this much money, you get these large portions.
Right.
And it's a deal. You know, everyone's looking for the deal. And instead, why aren't we talking about the flavor and the textures and the presentation of the food as opposed to how much we're getting for our money?
Yeah.
So, and also the quality of the ingredients that are going into the food as well. You know, a lot of the advertisement, And we're starting to see some legislation pointed towards that, are directed really at kids. We're talking about fast food, cereal manufacturers, snack food groups. You know, a lot of those manufacturers are targeted at children. So those kids, you know, are also, you know, eating poorly, not only at a restaurant but at home as well. So a lot of times when I consult with an adolescent in obesity, I often have the parents in the room at the same time. Speaking of the parents, that brings me to another point I wanted to bring up with, is that if you have just one obese parent in the household, you increase the chance of your child developing obesity in their lifetime 2 to 3-fold. Just having the one overweight child.
Parent
in the house.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A parent in the house.
Is that genetic or is it just behavior?
Right. Well, the genetic is a point of controversy there a little bit. Certainly, it's hard to kind of filter out some of the environmental factors that I talked about earlier and some of the genetic factors that you're talking about, Megan. I don't think that the genetics of our parents was all that different 20 years ago than it is now, but we're seeing higher obesity rates, not only in the children, but in the adults as well. So I kind of attribute it a bit more to the environment.
It's lifestyle.
And lifestyle, exactly. I mean, we're all probably less active than our counterparts, than our parents' generation were, you know, where they weren't quite so plugged in to everything. And we weren't. And to be honest, we're all busier. We're all busier in our lives. And I hear it all the time, not only from the adolescents, but I hear it from the parents too. I just don't have the time to do this, you know, or that.
I have to say that my wife cooks a very nice, well-balanced meals with lots of fresh fruits and vegetables every single night. But Henry won't eat the fruit. He won't eat the vegetables.
Right.
I'd have to take a hammer and force it down his gullet. Just won't eat them. And he wants to go to In-N-Out Burger every night.
Exactly.
And I've had to say, Henry, you know, you're going to kill yourself. You can do it now because you're young and he's very active. But if you get in the habit of eating it in and out all the time, you're going to kill yourself. You can't do that. And I have to say, you know, once a week at most for in and out, which is sounds like a lot. But believe me, it's tough to keep him from that. And we, you know, Jennifer says one bite. That's all I ask. Just one bite of asparagus, thinking that I don't know what. Maybe he'd take a second one. No, it's hard to get teenagers to eat well.
Absolutely. It's hard to get children eat vegetables well, too.
We fed them vegetables when they were little all the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we didn't know any better. Now, neither of my kid has a weight problem. They're very active. And I guess even though it doesn't seem like they're eating well, they are. And your kids, too, Megan, are very active and good shape.
But it's very disappointing to hear you say that I'm going to continue that just eat one bite game for the rest of their lives.
Rest
of their childhood.
And well, Henry won't eat breakfast. Abby went through this in the seventh and eighth grade. She wouldn't eat breakfast. I'm a little sympathetic with parents. It's not easy to get your kids to do the right thing, even if you model it, even if you have that meal on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. I face the same challenges too. It's just it's a constant battle. It's always, you know, the meat is on the plate, the starch is on the plate, and the vegetables are pretty much intact by the end of the meal.
Exactly. Exactly. But I guess don't give up is the motto here. How about activity? Certainly kids spend a lot of time in front of screens nowadays. And I say screens, not just TV, because it's computers, it's TV, it's video games. There's a lot of screens in their life.
Right. And I don't want to come across as someone who's anti-video games or anti-computers. Obviously, you know, I'm a tech geek as a hobbyist, and I love computers, and I love my video games. As a matter of fact, you know, a lot of the dads, you know, in the neighborhood, we have our own, you know, private little Halo nights every week that we play together.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Well, we can't deal with the 13-year-olds that their reflexes,
no,
their
play
Twitch
adults.
Reflexes are much faster.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we need the 40 and 50 somethings on the Halo night. And plus, you know, we can't swear like they can either.
So do you think people are putting too much blame on video games and screens for obesity, and it's really more diet?
Yeah, actually, the way I look at it, and the studies that I've looked at, and there have been a number of studies that looked at classically, the studies have revolved around television viewing and obesity, and that link has been tied rather strongly by a number of studies. I think of it as kind of more as, you know, the number of hours you're spending in front of a screen are hours that you're spending basically inactive.
Right.
You know, you're not really using the larger muscles. You're not working out any muscles other than just kind of, you know, sitting there.
That's why I sit on my ball, because at least I'm bouncing.
No, that's actually a very good thing that you do, Leo, is to sit on that ball. And it's good for your core muscles.
Right.
It's good for your lower back. It keeps your lower back strong. So
I got to sit here, so I might as well get a little something going on.
Exactly. So unfortunately ends up happening is that, you know, a lot of these kids kind of get into these viewing habits when they're very young, you know, and the television has been kind of a babysitter for a lot of parents. You know, it's easier not to be bothered, and it's easier to place them in front of a television, you know, than to be, you know, kind of parenting your kids a little bit. So the studies of, you know, I'm not going to say all video games are bad. There's actually been a couple of studies where they put kids in front of video games, but instead of traditional video games, they use something like Dance Dance Revolution or the eye camera on the PlayStation 2 and actually found that these kids were actually able to lose weight.
So you think Wii Fit, for instance, the craze for Wii Fit is a good thing?
I think anything that gets you on your feet and that, you know, does a kind of a weight-supported activity will certainly improve your chances of weight loss. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I don't fault video games per se, but I do fault the inactivity that's related to both television viewing, internet use, and video games as linking those, the number of hours you're logging into that, you know, to obesity. So
I really want to make a World of Warcraft game where I have to pedal a bike for all the running that I do in World of Warcraft. I think that'd be really great. You actually had to run, you know, put it on a treadmill. And when you're running across the world, you actually have to run.
Yeah, I've actually been in a gym where they had a rowing machine where it was a video game going on, and you were trying to row against another team and stuff like that.
Yeah, but see, it should be World of Warcraft. let's make it fun. I don't want to row against somebody. I want to shoot them.
That's right.
Yeah. Maybe if I row to catch up and then shoot them, that's what I'll
do. Yeah. So, they've looked at activity and video games and stuff. And again, it's not... I'm not faulting the television or the video games, but just the inactivity in itself and linking that to obesity. So they've even studied children where they looked at the number of hours per day a child would watch television. And not that either you or Leo or your children will watch TV for this amount of time, but they studied where children were watching over 5 hours of television per day.
I'm wondering who these kids are, because I mean,
yeah, that's exactly.
Man, that's scary. No, I mean, that would be a fat kid. Because the other thing is, you often are eating when you're watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of a vicious cycle. You eat and you're sitting there and you just, You get bigger and bigger, and then you can't move, and now you're stuck. Yeah. Well, I'll watch some more TV.
Yeah.
Right. And what are the types of food that, you know, you think they're eating in front of that television
snack
as well?
Food, so. Yeah. Exactly. Salty snacks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we all, you know, I think we all know what's good and what's right, and I just think it's sometimes it's difficult to do for parents, especially, you know. And I'm always very sympathetic for parents because I know now having done it, that it's very hard. It's very hard. But so any tips you can give parents for making this a little bit easier?
Yeah. When I counsel people about losing weight, I try to be very positive, and I try to give them very helpful hints as far as losing weight.
Yeah.
The first thing I tell them is when you're trying to lose weight, actually the first thing I do is not change their diet. I don't ask them to change anything that they're eating. But the first thing I do ask them to do is to start an exercise program.
Oh, good.
And I want them to start something relatively easy. If you're not someone who's used to exercise and you all of a sudden went out and put on a pair of sneakers and decide you're going to run a couple of miles, well, that, you know, you're going to feel pretty sore and you're going to feel pretty bad.
Right.
It's going to be a negative experience, and it's not one you're going to want to repeat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So try to engage something light at first. And what's really important is the number of minutes you put into it and the consistency in which you can engage that activity. So if you're looking for a physical activity, I look for nothing less than 30 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour. And I ask for nothing more than a simple walk, to go out into your neighborhood, walk around the block, you know, for half an hour and then come back.
Every day?
And then every day. I try to do 5 days a week.
Okay.
4 to 5 times a week is good. 3, I understand as well, but I mean, any amount of activity that you can do is good for you. I don't particularly like 7 because I do think there are a couple of days in which the muscles need to repair themselves and heal before the next exercise. So, by increasing your exercise, you're increasing your metabolic activity, you're increasing muscle mass, and by doing so, you're burning calories. And this is all you started before you've even changed your diet. And any exercise program has to be done consistently for 3 weeks before your muscles really start burning calories efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, when you're in that weight gaining mode, you're in kind of in that what we term an anabolic mode, where you're storing calories. And to go from an anabolic mode to a catabolic mode, where you're burning calories, takes roughly about 3 weeks. What I tell patients is to not get hung up on their weight. It's very frustrating when you're looking at a scale from day to day and you're doing these things and you're saying, I'm not seeing results.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be very self-defeating. It can be very frustrating for people to stick with a program. Instead, I normally ask my patients not to weigh themselves more than once a week. And that way you get a kind of an idea where they are. But what I really set as a goal for my patients, instead of a number, which is really what a weight is, I'm asking for them to kind of more, you're doing this for your health. You're doing this to make yourself feel better. You're doing this for your energy levels. And so try not to get too hung up on the weight. The fact that you're exercising is a reward in itself and that you need to keep doing that. And so by doing regular activity 4 to 5 times a week, now after about 3 weeks is then when I'll visit the diet for the patient. So I'll usually have them come back in the office, and then we'll talk a little bit about diet. I'll ask them to keep a diary of what they eat.
That's what Megan was saying. She mm-hmm. said that really works for her. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It really works really well. People are often very ignorant or not
unconscious.
Unconscious, exactly, yes. of what it is that they're eating and how many calories they're putting in. I've had several patients remark about, you know, where they go bad in the day. Many people are very good 2 out of their 3 meals, and we'll find that one meal where they've taken in, you know, 800 or 900 calories in the meal and look back and say, oh my goodness, what did I eat here?
Yeah.
You know, and if
that's
you can
me,
avoid
I'm really good. And then I'll go on and then I'll go to a party or something and I'll eat 900. I'll eat 10,000 calories. I'll eat a year's worth of calories in one sitting.
Enough to keep Michael Phelps going in the pool.
Exactly. You know, you look at his diet, and that shows you. I mean, he eats huge amount indiscriminately, but he's an athlete.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he's not exactly the role model I set out from.
No.
he's an anabolic machine. That man just simply cannot – you know, in the course of the Olympics, he's eating, what, 10 to 12,000 calories a day, and he was still losing weight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a specimen right there.
Right, right. But, not an example for us, that's for sure.
Not an example for the rest of us. Yeah. But Megan's right. By keeping a diary, by keeping a record of what you eat, it's not so much to be a form of punishment, but it is a form of, you know, keeping yourself honest to your plan, you know?
Yeah.
And the biggest change I make for anyone in their diet is do not to make any caloric changes more than 300 calories per week. Because if 300? You do more than 300, listen.
That's nothing.
I know, it's nothing. But the reason is
that's a can of Coke.
Not making that much of a change.
No more than that. Only because you will start missing it.
Yes.
Okay.
And your body will say, I'm going to shut down.
Well, exactly. And the biggest
mistake. We're in starvation mode.
Exactly. And the biggest mistake that people make, and a lot of the fad diets run into, is that there's this enormous starvation period in the beginning of a diet.
Right.
You know, they'll go into severe deprivation where the calories will be no more than maybe 900, 1,000, maybe 1,200 calories in a day.
Yep.
When you go into that mode, your body perceives it as that there is a famine.
Right.
And what will happen is your body first burns glycogen stores in the liver. When it burns the glycogen stores in the liver, that releases water. And then you diurese, you urinate a lot, and you see a huge change in your weight. You'll see
that's
maybe
why
five,
in those diets,
pounds.
You do those diets and you see amazing loss in the first week or two.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It doesn't even seem possible.
Right. But none of it has been fat.
Right.
Not a single pound of that has. It's just water. Exactly.
Wow.
And then try to maintain that for the next 2 weeks, and you'll find yourself more emotional, more agitated,
right.
more grouchy, you know, and you will just be, you know, the people will just be not, you know, will be, will want to get away from you. You'll just be a very irritable.
Last 10 years, so. Megan, that's what I've been doing. So, you know, no, I've gone through that. I've gone through that cycle many times. I've been on so many diets in my life and exactly that cycle.
Exactly.
It doesn't work. I gain the weight right back.
Well, not only do you gain the weight back, but you're heavier than when you started.
That's right.
Because the next thing that happens is after you burn the glycogen stores, your body looks at the fat, it looks at the muscles and says, well, since we're not exercising, we don't really need the muscles. And it will burn the muscles and save the fat, thinking that further on down the line, it's going to need that fat as a source of calories.
Right.
So you lose muscle mass. And when you lose that muscle mass and you finally break down and fall off of your diet, well, what happens? You start eating the same number of calories you did before the start of the diet, but instead you've put on weight
right.
because you have less muscle mass than you did at the beginning of the weight, mm-hmm. which gets back to what I said before, which is the first thing I do when I tell patients when they're going to start a weight loss program is not to diet, but to start the exercise program part of it
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
You want to maintain your muscle mass before you head into the diet part.
Tell your body, I'm using this. Don't eat
exactly.
this. This is I need this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once you do that, and then you start making those calorie changes, 200, 300 calories per week. Well, if you multiply that out, Leo, over a month,
yeah.
you know, you're talking 1,200 calories,
right?
So it's not – it is a lot of calories when you look back at the big picture. But on a week-to-week basis, you're only looking at it from 300 calories, and your body won't miss it. You won't go hungry. You won't say to yourself, I need to eat this. And the temptations will be more resistible for you because you haven't really deprived yourself of an enormous amount of calories.
That's, I guess, why it works to cut out one item from the – like if I say I'm going to stop eating bread at dinner, that's enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, those small changes – when you are looking back at a six-month period, you'll say to yourself, you know, I'm eating far fewer calories.
Right.
And weight loss has to be a long-term project. I try to get people out of that mode of looking at it from a success at a month, at 3 months, or 6 months. I'm looking at this for a lifestyle that you can maintain permanently for the rest of your life because this is not a problem that's going to go away after a year. You know, we're all getting older, our metabolisms naturally slow down, and we need to fight the process of aging by doing these things. So,
when you write down your food diary, are you writing down calories, or are you just writing down what you're eating, just to kind of be aware of it?
I find that the recording calories is probably a bit more helpful. Okay. If you're writing down the actual foods, it sometimes can be a little bit misleading. Mm-hmm. But the calorie counts force you to kind of take into also consideration things right. like sauces, gravies, you know, because you can record something like, well, I had a wonderful fish, but forget to put in the fact that there was a wonderful creme Dijon sauce right, on top of that fish, you know, which probably had more calories than three of those fillets, you know, and you probably would have been a lot fuller if you had just had the fish, skip the sauce, you know, so.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I think many of us know this, especially those of us like me, the career dieters. I know all this stuff, but it's just hard to make those behavioral modifications so that it becomes a permanent thing.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of another thing I try to get patients to do as well is, you know, if you keep a calendar, as far as exercise goes, you know, give yourself a check mark on the days you're exercising. So when you look back at your week,
you
can say to yourself, how many days have I been exercising? And if you have too many days where you've created excuses and say, well, I'll just do it tomorrow, and there are only like 2 or 3 days left in the week, well, now you force yourself into exercising every day for the rest of the week because you gave yourself those allowances in the earlier part of the week.
And of course, now we've been talking about everybody, not just kids, but parents. But parents are providing a role model for the kids when they do this.
Absolutely. Stuff. Getting back to that, if there's one obese parent in the household, you're influencing your kids. And when kids see their parents eating healthy, even though you know they don't want to eat healthy, you are still providing a role model for your children. Yeah. And the exercise is also important too. By seeing that, you know, you're going to the gym, or you can even bring your kids to the gym. Many gyms nowadays have daycare and have childcare facilities. But you can even exercise with your kids. I mean, one of the things I'm going to be doing with my six-year-old after I'm done with this is I'm supposed to go running with her. So,
oh, that's great. Now, how do you run with a six-year-old? Do you have her in the carriage?
No. She's running.
She runs.
She runs.
Wow.
Yeah. It's often embarrassing when she's like, come on.
Wow. I'm impressed. Yeah. You know. This is inspiring. It's great. I think we can all do this, right? Mm-hmm.
So your blog is drdannylee.com. Are you still having time to update it?
Oh, gosh. I've been really bad about that. I mean, I've been busy with this retraining thing. And then also I set up the blog originally because I had moved from private practice into Hopkins and doing more teaching. A lot of my patients wanted to follow me from private practice into Hopkins and stuff. So I originally set up the blog kind of to help people find me and to move their care if they wanted to. I was actually quite surprised by the number of patients that actually found the blog because I didn't really do anything to promote the blog. People would say they would Google me and that the blog would come up. And it was just amazing how many people have just followed me from private practice over to over to Hopkins. So that's originally, you know, how the blog set up, and also there were a lot of kind of bumps and hiccups, as you can imagine, when you're transitioning from one practice to another. And I used it as a vehicle to kind of help smooth some of those bumps and to get people transitioned over. But I'm hoping since I'm kind of settling now, I want to transition that blog into something a bit more of a kind of a help site or a help column and answer questions and bring about topics. And I've started dabbling that a bit more. I've started receiving emails from people who had questions about blood thinners and Coumadins and diets they could follow and things like that. And things like related to diabetes, that's a part of medicine that I seem to spend more and more time on doing. So I answer a lot of questions about diabetes, and I'll probably be putting up several more posts about diabetes and diabetic care up in the future. So
good.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Danny Lee. DrDannyLee.com.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, no problem, Megan. You're terrific, Megan. she's so organized. It's amazing. I think I need you over here.
I say that all the time. I know. She's incredible.
Well, thank you. Well, hopefully we can have you on again.
Oh, thanks very much. I'd love to.
Okay.
Thanks, Danny.
Take care.
No problem.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Dr.
Danny Lee. Well, see, he makes me feel better now. I don't feel
good.
So old, fat, and in the way.
No.
And I liked it that he said, you know, you're not going to get kids off the screen, but get them standing up. Get them doing some other things. Get him out there running with you.
Yeah.
I'm really glad when Henry found skateboarding, it kind of became a moot point because he skateboards so much now that he doesn't want to do the video games so much.
Right.
You know, he does that as downtime, but he's skating almost every day.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it is. I think you're right that, like, you know, it's habit forming. Like, he can't eat at In-N-Out Burger every day for the rest of his life. But
I don't know.
It's really hard not to take our own issues and put them on our kids, too, I think.
Oh, you're really... That's very good. Yeah, because sometimes I feel like, well, my issue is weight and exercise. And I don't want to lay it on them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not an issue for them at all.
Right.
You know, and certainly putting energy on it makes it become an issue, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
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 I agree with you on that.
So, yeah. All right. Did you want to talk about our other sponsor?
I do. I would love to. In fact, you know, we got a new thing that we do for the other sponsor. We haven't asked the other sponsor if they mind this or not. But I like to play a little something from Mr. Jeff Smith to get me in the mood for the other sponsor.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this.
All right. Now I get it. I've got to give them some credit for being safe and secure. No problems, they assure. It's Visa.
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 Visa. Yeah, this show brought to you by the good folks at Visa. It feels like an old-fashioned radio show when he does that, don't you think? I mean, just that's what I start to want to talk like this.
Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith. The Jeff Smith.
The Jeff Smith.
G-E-O-F-F Smith. He's the greatest. And so is Visa. When you go shopping online, my friends, I want you to take along your Visa card with you because, you know, you don't want to be worrying about whether it's safe, whether this site is safe. First of all, they take Visa. That's a good sign. Second of all, if there should be any problem, Visa stands behind you. And that's the most important thing. When you go online, when you're shopping, even when you're not online, take your Visa card along with you. Visa does so many things to make sure that they detect, prevent, and resolve online fraud so there is zero liability. You are just not liable for unauthorized purchases. That's what I call peace of mind. Safe, secure, Visa. Make sure you use Visa the next time you go shopping online.
All right, now I get it. I've got to give them some credit for being safe and secure. No problems, they assure. It's Visa.
Visa.
Visa. Visa.
Yeah. Let's move on now to the next portion of our program, which would be...
Now's the time we hear from you.
You! Our callers!
Our writers.
The people!
What do you want to do first, a call or an email?
Why don't you do an email while I pull up our fabulous site.
Okay.
You know, our grand central site.
Mm-hmm. With our phone number, 707-981-4602.
Yes.
Or you can use the web button, jumpingmonkeys.com. Click on the web button.
I suppose I should explain, if you do the 707, you're going to pay toll charges, but not when you use the web button.
Right.
They call Visa. Grand Central calls you.
Audible calls you.
Audible. All our sponsors. Grand Central.
Luke sent me an email. He says, I listen to most of the podcasts on Twit regularly at work and happen to check Jumping Monkeys from time to time, even though I don't have kids. So today I ended up listening to a show and you mentioned airsoft. Do you remember when we were talking about the guns that look like real guns?
Oh, those guns. Yes.
I've got a pretty long history with the sport of airsoft. I call it a sport, though the guns you spoke of in the show are not part of it. I think we were maybe talking about rubber band guns. It's very different from the real sport of airsoft, and I wouldn't call it so much a sport as a hobby. The problems that arise are when the guns are used incorrectly. The hobby of airsoft is responsible persons going out and enjoying a military simulation, which tends to resemble paintball with a strong emphasis on realism and teamwork.
My half-brother does these.
He does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Many of the people...
Loves it, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's like 15 or something?
Yeah, he's now a senior in high school. Yeah, but he's been doing it since he's about 15 or 16. That's right.
And he says, many of the people who enjoy this hobby are appalled that the toy stores would sell these guns to kids.
They're not toys.
Mm-hmm. We as a majority would love to have them restricted to 18 and older.
Yeah.
At this point, it's up to the retailers to regulate. And to be honest, they're doing a poor job of keeping these guns out of the hands of kids.
Because they're more like BB guns.
Yeah, and I guess they have like an orange thing on the front of them, but a lot of people paint over that,
right.
So you can't really...
Yeah, well, there's a danger there. The reason they have those orange things is the police departments were shooting kids holding toy guns, and they said, wait a minute, you know, we got to make sure that a toy or a non-lethal weapon doesn't look like a lethal weapon.
Right.
And I think that that's a dangerous thing to paint those over or take them off.
Yeah, or even have the guns out in public and not like when you're doing
If they're done in the proper area at the proper time, it's not it's safe and it's fun.
Yeah.
We used to, when we were kids, we used to do that. We'd play army and it was really fun. I always enjoyed that. All right, here we got a call for you, Megan. This one came in early in the morning from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Hi, guys. It's Tracy from the Middle School Monkeys blog. I've called in before, and I just wanted to clear up a few things about us Canadians. Just because our fellow from Quebec is confused by your first grade, second grade, doesn't mean all of us are. Here in the West, we readily embrace the fact that there are different ways to do different things. We simply refer to it as first grade one, grade two, so it's pretty easy. First grade, grade what? I'm a firm believer in when in Rome, so just don't think all of us Canucks are a little crazy like that. Oh, did I say that out loud? Not that there's any rivalry between the West and the East of Canada. Anyway, just want to let you know the show's great and enjoy everything you do. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. And I did get an email from the guy. And I hope we weren't too mean to him. He said, he was very apologetic. We're just fooling around.
Yeah.
You know, when you use that weird Celsius stuff, I don't understand you either. But I can make the conversion. I can figure it out.
You can?
No.
Okay.
I learned because used to go to Canada every month. So I had to learn when they said, ooh, it's going to be 40 degrees today, that it doesn't mean wear your snowsuit.
Right.
It's hot.
Yeah. Our oven sometimes gets stuck on Celsius. It's very difficult to...
Well, I think, there's only two countries left. It's either Libya and the U.S. Yeah, there's only a couple of countries left using this
Fahrenheit
imperial system. Yeah, we really probably should switch over.
We should. All right. Greg asks, have you ever run across a service that will print board books with your own photos? Something like the standard iPhoto book or Blurb books, but just printed and bound as a board book instead of paper.
What's a board? Oh, you mean like the kids?
The ones that kids can eat. Now, when my kids were in the eating books stage, we had like a rubber, like plastic books, and they we could put the pictures in there.
Right. We did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like made little photo albums that they couldn't eat.
Right.
Yeah.
I found something. It's lifetimes.com with a Z. I haven't used it, but it looks like, they'll print your own, with your own photos, they'll print you a board book. And I also found on the Make Magazine blog, there was a link to a making your own board book out of cardboard with pictures. So I'll put those links in the show notes. And also Shutterfly does this.
Oh, they make a board book?
They do. I think it's the same one where you slip the picture in.
Right.
I'm not sure. And I think it's like one picture in a different, in a
bunch of
different...
smarter probably because, it's expensive and you're not going to get a lot of utility out of that.
But the board, if you're crafty, then it seemed pretty, not that hard to make this board book with cardboard and your own pictures and glue. And
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
A little varnish,
mm-hmm.
Decoupage. Did you ever do decoupage?
Annabella has she did a decoupage, like a little a kit that came in.
Yeah, it's fun. You cut these little little things out, and it's take a lot of work with the scissors. It's impressive that she could do that. And then you glue it on, and then you varnish it many, many times, and it really looks quite beautiful.
Yeah, her things I think were already cut for her.
Pre-cut.
I can't remember.
Because at her age, it'd be hard to cut.
Right.
It's almost like doing those little silhouettes, that you see the guys doing on the streets.
Do you often decoupage?
Oh, yes. Many people don't know that.
I'm surprised you haven't decoupaged your desk here.
I will. My mom was a decoupager.
Really?
Yeah. She's very crafty. And textiles, mostly weaving, knitting. But she also did silk screening and lithographs. And for a while, she did decoupage.
Yeah. Oh. Huh.
Brief time.
Interesting.
Then the varnish got to her and she kind of got a little punchy.
Do you have another call for us?
Oh, golly, I'm sitting here gassing away.
Golly.
Here's one from the web button. I like it when they call the web button.
Hi, Leo. I just have a question for you. I homeschool and I was just wondering, kind of where you can find online curriculum and stuff like that for like science projects and that kind of stuff. This is Tyler from Manitoba, Canada.
We got a lot of Canadians. Thank you, Tyler. There are a lot. In fact, we found that out the last show, that there are a lot of great resources online for homeschooling. In fact, I think that's transformed homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
I know mostly about U.S. stuff because there are curriculum requirements in each state that you need to live up to. So you would probably want to check the ones in your province, right. or look for ones in your province. But I think if you Google homeschool curriculum, and Manitoba or wherever you know your province is or state is, there are a lot of resources. This is a good time to be doing that. I think.
Yeah, our caller, we had a caller last week.
She had some good
choices.
She said
that Usborn Books has some great online tools for homeschoolers.
You know, I don't know how it is in Canada. In the U.S., of course, there's a huge homeschooling movement, and there, in almost every case, you will try to find. There's usually a group. I know in California, anyway, there's a group that kind of certifies it, and you can work with. They'll provide curriculum. They'll help you with additional teachers to help connect people. If you're not good at math, they might find another homeschooler in the area whose parents are good at math. And so, I think there are a lot of good choices out there. But I'm not sure I would want to. I'm not sure what's available in Canada particularly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I have another question from Beth. She says, I remember on one of the more recent episodes, you and Leo were talking about dolls that are a cross between Barbie and Bratz, and I can't remember the name of them, nor can I find it on the Jumping Monkeys website.
Shocking.
Did I imagine this?
Yes.
This is highly likely as I have a 3-month-old and haven't had a good night's sleep since my 7th month of pregnancy. No, Beth, you did not imagine it. They're called Juku Couture.
And, oh, yeah. We had one here.
We
that
did,
was so
yes.
cool.
Yeah. So, and I'll put the link in the show notes.
Not as busty as I like a doll to be, but no, I'm just kidding.
It's J-U-K-U.
They look normal. They look like normal girls with really cool fashions.
And they have fancy
fashions.
Clothes and lots of them that cover lots of their parts of their body, which I'm a fan of.
No mini skirts. No mini skirts.
So it's J-U-K-U. You can search Amazon for those. I think they are available now.
You know what Abby did, and I thought this was great, but it's a little pricey. But boy, she loved them. American Girl dolls. Annabella's in a couple of years, she'll be old enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My mother-in-law has gotten her some Madame Alexander dolls.
Oh, those are the fancy ones.
Yes. Yeah. And they're the ones that have, like, she got them on eBay. Like, they've never been played with.
Oh,
and
boy.
They don't survive. They haven't survived.
No, they're not a good choice. They're collectibles.
Yeah. We have Martha Washington and Gigi from France.
Oh,
isn't there like a movie, Gigi,
for little dolls.
Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I recommend American Girl. They're made in the U.S. They're it's a Chicago company.
Are Madame Alexander French?
I think they might be. They are collectibles. They are very fancy. Girl is really designed for playing with.
Oh, good.
They're historical characters, so they're similar to that.
Right. There was the movie.
That's
the American Doll.
That's right.
Movie
and there's
recently.
A magazine. But they're different. They come from different periods. Then they have period costumes and little dollhouse furniture and little sets. And there's books that come with it, too. So you learn about, you know, the Revolutionary War period. Abby loved these. She really loved them.
And they're only $450 per doll.
Dolls, a good doll is like $100 now.
Yeah.
So they're about $100. They're expensive. But it gets to be a lot more if you buy all this stuff. So it's probably too expensive for a lot of people. It's a pricey habit.
Yeah.
We went to Chicago to the American Girl doll store and museum, and they had a little restaurant.
Tea.
We had tea, and they have a little high chair for your doll, and your doll sits there. Then we took the doll to the ballpark, and we saw the giant the Wrigley Field.
Yeah,
it's
you
play.
And your friend, right? And then after that,
you
hit each other in the back a bunch of times, increase your masculinity.
No, it was so fun. But Abby did have a bad habit, considering the cost of the doll, of shaving their hair. Well, she thought it grow. She would cut it,
and then
it would grow back. They don't grow back. But they have a hospital at the American Girl doll store where you bring the doll and they redo the hair.
Implants?
Yeah. Hair plugs.
Hair plugs.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
No, I think it was a good educational experience, and she loved those dolls. Mm. She loved those dolls.
Yeah. All right. I think we have time for one more email.
Is it a call or an email?
Call.
I got Susie on the web button.
Okay. Go for it.
Hit it, Susie.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Susie from Connecticut. My husband listens to Twit and turned me on to the Jumping Monkeys a few months ago. We have a 2-month-old daughter, Bailey, who is learning to be a geek, just like her dad.
Yay.
She has a webcam on her crib and a Mac Mini in her room.
Wow.
And I listen to your show while I nurse her, and I'm a little behind. I was listening to episode 57 with archivist Allison discussing ways to preserve blogs or making a digital baby book, and my husband found a free software program called BookSmart, and it's at blurb.com at B as in Bravo, LURB.com, where you can make books from blogs and upload pictures and stuff. It works on both Mac and PC, And what we do is we save the blog to a PDF file, and it turns it real easy into a book. It's about 40 pages for $12. So,
oh.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
That's the one we talked about, yeah.
So just wanted to share the tip.
Thank you, Susie. Keep up the good work.
Love listening to you guys. Bye.
That's so nice.
And clearly, you need to be nursing your daughter a little bit longer if you're so behind.
Well, that's, I was going to say, the good thing about being behind is that means you have many episodes to listen
to
going forward. Because I wouldn't say they're that timely. I mean, you can listen to older shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and we talked about that last week. But she wouldn't have even been able to listen to this because we're recording ahead. So
Actually, as we record this, it hasn't even aired.
Right.
So, of course, she wouldn't know about that.
Right, yes.
It was last week, but it's not for 2 weeks.
Right.
go figure that out.
Exactly. And now we got to go record another episode.
Oh, well, let's let's wrap it up then. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks to Dr. Danny.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Steve Leo.
Yes.
And next week we're going to talk to the baby name wizard, Laura Wattenberg.
She uses graphs.
She does, yeah.
Very fancy.
Yes, fancy
graphs.
This
is going to be fun.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we'll see you next week.
On?
Jumping.
Monkeys. Bye!